the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm John Loeffler. You know, most Americans in the private sector, the biggest source of income savings and income during retirement has been their 401k plans. And I'm sure you're aware by now that there's been a tax reform bill debate about tax cuts. And guess what? Under the latest retirement plans in the tax bill, the latest GOP bill could squeeze your 401k. So since that's on the table for discussion, and we've known for a long time that retirement plans would look just too enticing to a very desperate Congress, today we'll talk about the details, how it works, the proposals, and then managing your 401k in this environment. So frame the issue.
Well, one of the reasons they become so popular, John, is if you take a look at what's happened to pensions over the last three or four decades, we used to have defined benefit pension plans. You worked for a company 25, 30 years, you had stable employment, and when you retired, you'd get X percent of your salary in the form of a pension. Well, beginning in the late 70s, a lot of our major corporations began doing away with defined benefit plans, and they went to what is called defined contribution plans. The latest version is what you and I know as our 401k plan. And these became very popular. And the nice thing about them, one reason is they reduce your salary. So if you, let's say, contributing to a plan, and let's say you get a paycheck of $1,000 every 2 weeks, you put $100 into your 401k plan, that comes right off the top. And why that's important is it does not show up on the front page of your income tax return. It is a deduction above the line, and that helps to preserve your itemized deductions because it reduces your what is called adjusted gross income. That is the figure at the bottom of the front page of your tax return. Now, why that figure is important is because a lot of your itemized deductions, there's something called the Pease Amendment, which was brought back into play in 2012 when they raised income taxes. And the way the Pease Amendment works, it takes 3% of your adjusted gross income and subtracts it from your itemized deduction. Now, who does that impact? It impacts single individuals making $200,000 and married couples making $250,000. So the nice thing about 401ks, it's above the line deduction, which also helps with your itemized deductions, and it can keep you below that $200,000-$250,000 line, which is subject to this Pease Amendment, where they subtract your itemized deductions. Now, they're talking about doing away with a lot of itemized deductions. Well, for many people, they already are with this Pease Amendment. Now, let's talk about why they're so popular. In 2017, you can put up to $18,000 in a 401k plan. And if you're over age 50, there's a catch-up provision of $6,000. So you can put $24,000 a year. It comes off right off the top. For 2018, these are indexed to inflation. The figure goes to $18,500 next year, and the catch-up provision goes from $6,000 to $6,500. So next year, you'll be able to put $25,000. It's been going up roughly about $1,000 a year. Now, in addition to coming off the top, the other advantage is tax deferral, because as you're aware of, inside your 401k, it grows tax deferred until retirement. Now, some plans, depending on how they're set up, allow you to borrow from your plan and you would pay yourself interest. However, there's a penalty before age 59 and a half if you cash it out. There's ways to get around that, but we're not going to talk about it today. Now, there's another type of plan, which this is, we'll bring this into play when we talk about what our Congress critters are thinking of doing. It's called a Roth 401k. The plan must be amended to permit your Roth contributions. In other words, a company can't just set up a Roth 401k plan. You have to have a regular 401k plan, and then you have an amendment that allows the Roth contributions. Now, if you're putting money in a Roth IRA, there's a limitation that phases out on income. Here's the great thing about a Roth 401k. You can put $18,000 plus $6,000 for catch-up. You could put $24,000 a year. Now, you're not going to get a deduction for it, but the great thing about it is anything you put into a Roth, if you keep it in there for 5 years, it is tax-free for the rest of your life. So imagine putting away $24,000, and this is far above the figure that you can put in a Roth IRA. A Roth IRA is limited to $5,500 a year, $6,500 a year if you're over age 50. Well, the great thing about 401ks, you're not limited to the $6,500 or $5,500, depending on your age. You can put up to $24,000, and more importantly, they don't phase it out. In other words, once you are single and you make over $118,000 to $133,000, they phase out your ability to put money in a Roth IRA. If you're married, they start phasing out your ability to put money in a Roth if you make $186,000 to $196,000. There's none of this limitation in a 401k Roth. Not only do you get almost four times as much that you can salt away tax-free, but you don't have to worry about phase-out. The other great thing about a Roth IRA, besides being tax-free, is when you get to age 70 and a half, let's just say you put money in a regular 401k, you retire, you roll it over to an IRA. The problem with an IRA, at age 70 and a half, you have to take mandatory distributions from your IRA, which are taxed as ordinary income, and every single year, those distributions go up as you age. You have none of that with a 401k plan. So the advantage for upper income individuals is that the $6,500 limit or the phase out can be avoided if you participate in a 401k plan that has a Roth provision to it. So instead of putting away $6,500, you can put away $24,000, and there's no limitation or phase out for income.
Yeah, one of the benefits that always existed in the 401k, I remember when they phased out defined benefit plans, is that you could have your employer making matching contributions to the plan. Now, will that be affected?
It really depends on what they're doing, because we'll get ahead of that, but you just brought up one of the great benefits of 401k plans, John, is the matching contribution. Most employers will match up to 6% of income. I've seen some that match up to 100%, up to a certain limit. So, you know, think about what that does to your plan. Let's say that you're making $100,000 a year and you're putting $6,000 into a 401k plan and your employer matches up to 6% of your income. So the $6,000 you put in, your employer puts in $6,000. You know, that's equivalent of 100% return on the first year of your contributions. And it is a great way to build up wealth for your retirement. Not only the money that you're putting away on a tax-deferred basis, tax-deductible, but also the employer matching contributions. Now, we'll get into, for those in the upper income bracket, it gets even better. We work with a lot of high-end clients that own their own business, where, John, we're setting up and managing their 401k plans. And here's the great thing about a 401k plan. If you are an entrepreneur and a self-employed individual, you can put not $24,000, you can put away $59,000. The way it works is you can put away $24,000 in the regular 401k, and then with matching contributions and profit sharing, you can put away an additional $35,000. Now, the way this could work very well for an upper income individual is you set up a 401k plan and you add an amendment for the Roth 401k. This allows you to put away up to $24,000 this year, $25,000 next year. You don't get a deduction for it. But imagine putting away, salting away $24,000 or $25,000 a year. Let's say you're age 40 and you do it to age 66. It can add up substantially, and I'll get to that in just a minute. Now, in addition to the $24,000 that you would put in a Roth, which you would get no deduction for, you can put in an additional $35,000 in which you would get a deduction. So $24,000 you put away into a Roth, no tax deduction for that. You would pay taxes on that income. $35,000 you put away, you get a tax deduction. Now, let me throw some numbers out at you, and it'll just blow your mind. Let's say you are age 40, you're doing well, and you put away $59,000 into your 401k. You amend it. You're self-employed or you own your own business. You amend it to have a Roth 401k provision. So you're putting away, let's just stick with the number because it goes up each year. But let's say you're putting away $24,000 every single year from age 40 to age 66. At a 6% rate of return, we're not using high returns here. At age 66, you would have $1,621,159. Let's call it $1.6 million. That is all generating tax-free income. I don't care what you invest in. You can invest in dividends, bonds, whatever it is. If it comes out of a Roth, it is absolutely tax-free. There's no mandatory distributions. And if you wanted to dig into your principal, there is no taxes on that. Secondly, let's talk about the other provision. You're putting $24,000 in a Roth, $35,000 in a regular 401k. That $35,000 at 6% at the same age would grow to roughly about $2.4 million. Of course, it'd be taxable as you pull it out of an IRA. And this excludes the 40% savings per year on the taxes. And let's assume you're in a 40% bracket. That saves $14,000 a year. If you were able to invest that for the same amount of time, that would grow to almost $950,000. So just by putting away $59,000 a year, $35,000, which is deductible in a regular 401k, $24,000, which is non-deductible in a Roth, and the $14,000 that you would save in taxes, that would grow to roughly $5 million by the time you retire at age 66. And think about that, 33% of it, one-third of that amount would be tax-free. We're starting to do a lot more work with our individuals, they have their own businesses, they're unaware that they can have this Roth provision and use it with a combination and not be limited to the $24,000 limitation, but can put up to $59,000, and that $59,000 has been going up. Next year, that number will be $60,000, assuming they don't change it, and we'll get to that in just a minute.
You know, if this is such a good deal, I mean, it looks like it, why don't more owners or employees set up more 401k plans or the Roth plans?
You know, they did a recent survey as to why people weren't taking advantage of 401k plans. There are a number of reasons. 66% of those polled said they simply can't afford it. You know, it's great, it's a tax deduction, but I need every dime I get paid to pay my bills. 57% said they were using some other form of savings alternatives, putting money in the bank or just investing in a mutual fund outside it. Don't understand that answer because of the tax savings and the tax deferral. You would have more money. 36% said they did not like the plan features. We'll get into that in just a minute. A lot of people, especially smaller businesses, they get sold these 401k plans, have very few choices, high fees, high commissions. So a lot of plan participants just simply don't like them. 32% said, hey, this is confusing. Don't understand it. You know, that's a problem that HR needs to do, or it's something that we help our clients with, helping their employees understand the alternatives, the asset mix, how to allocate the portfolio given their age and risk. But 32%, they didn't like the family features. 31% said they didn't do it because their advisors, family, or friends advised them not to do it. which is just, quite honestly, bad advice. So it is a situation where a lot of people simply don't understand it. Maybe they can't afford it, or they don't like the alternatives. But there's a lot of reasons why people aren't doing it, and it's a shame, because it is essential when you're thinking about retirement planning to put money away in a plan that will grow either tax-free or tax-deferred, because you're going to have more money. Throw in employer matching contributions, and you're going to create a lot of wealth for retirement. And that's why we believe these 401k plans or 457 plans with government or 403 plans with school teachers are essential for planning for long-term retirement.
Okay, well, this was a fairly good arrangement for a long time, but it sounds like the GOP plan may do away with a lot of this. So what will the changes be?
Well, they're trying to figure out how to pay for these tax cuts. And in my interview with A. Gary Schilling, we just don't think the tax cuts are going to be as big. If they do pass them, most of the benefit will be on the corporate side where tax rates are high. John, they're having trouble trying to pay for this. So if they lower the tax rates, they're getting a lot of flack for lowering taxes for people that make money and pay taxes. Well, I hate to tell you, it's the top income groups that pay the majority of the nation's taxes. So if you're going to cut taxes, one assumes one pays taxes. And if you're an upper income individual, you pay a lot of taxes. And of course, if they reduce your tax rate by 10%, well, then they're going to say, well, you pay 10 times the amount of tax, but you get 10 times the tax savings. For some reason, they feel that's an injustice. So they're looking at ways to pay for it. In one contribution, and I call it a trial balloon because they're floating these things out there, was to limit contributions to $2,400 a year or make these 401ks Roth 401ks, meaning that you wouldn't get basically the tax deduction, but you would have tax-free income. And of course, when immediately that got out, President Trump tweeted and he goes, not going to happen. 401ks at work, they're a great part of retirement savings, and I would be dead set against it. Well, that was last week. This week, all of a sudden, there is, well, we're negotiating. So we really don't know. So one idea is to put a limit on them. So right now, it's $18,000. $24,000 with the catch-up provision that goes to $25,000 next year. So if it's, let's say, $24,000 now, if they limited to $24,000, they would reduce your contribution by almost 90%. Now, the government says currently deductions that are made to, let's say, retirement plans, whether 401k, 403b, 457, defined benefit, whatever it is, it's costing the government $115 billion in revenues. Now, the average guy, if you talk about it, here's the way it works under this plan. The average guy, let's say, puts $1,000 a year in a 401k plan. He's in a 25% bracket. His take-home pay is down by $1,000, but he saves $250 because the $1,000 he put in the 401k, he saves $250 because he's in a 25% bracket. So actually, his take-home pay is really reduced by $750, not the full $1,000, thanks to the tax savings. If they limit this to only Roth only, the $1,000 amount put in the Roth, the take-home pay would be reduced by $1,000 because there would be no tax savings until you take the money out, which would be tax-free, or until such time you retired. So, John, you don't know. Last week, the president tweeted when he immediately found out about it and said, not going to happen, no way. This week, the debate has shifted a little bit, and it is, well, maybe everything's on the table. So what does that mean? Everything's on the table, which means tax deductions. And last year alone, Americans have $7.5 trillion in 401k-type plans and $8.4 trillion in individual retirement accounts. So, you know, the president said no way, but as you know, this president negotiates. So you don't know if that's a tactic that he's working with his own party and saying, hey, that's not on the table. Remember the border adjustment tax? That was what we were talking about earlier when they brought up the tax bill. Now that is gone. So now on the table is pension plans in itemized deductions. And it could be they're getting a lot of flack because on itemized deductions, they want to do away with medical deductions. They want to do away with property and casualty deductions. They want to do away with miscellaneous deductions. They want to do away with state and property tax deductions. Now, there's 33 Republicans in high tax states like California, New Jersey, and New York that are saying, you know, do you want to go up for re-election next year and say, hey, I know we live in a high tax state, and I voted to do away with your tax deduction. For many people, that is their largest tax deduction. So under the bill, we've looked at this, a lot of people would see upper income individuals, upper middle class families would actually see their taxes actually go up, not go down, as the president has promised.
Now the question is, what are the probabilities of passage? Because there are people even on the GOP side of the aisle and their constituents who are reading it and deciding this is not a good deal. So I know you don't like it. What do you think the probabilities of it passing are?
Well, they want to do something. I mean, you know, the Republicans for 8 years under Obama complained about what the Obama administration was doing, taxes, regulation, and spending. So they retook the House in 2010 after Obamacare. In 2014, they retook the Senate. In 2016, they captured the White House. They have failed to repeal Obamacare. And the first pass at the tax reform failed, and they haven't done infrastructure. So, John, next year, what are you going to run on? You know, it's a question if they're going to get this done this year. Maybe if they get it done, it's going to be in a smaller package than what it is now. It won't be as big as the president is talking about, or maybe it may be passed in the first part of the year. I don't like it. I think it's coming at the wrong time. I like the corporate tax rates because, once again, we have the highest tax rates in the country. And 35% of zero is still zero. You're better off getting 20% of a dollar than 35% of zero. And so there seems to be widespread agreement on the business tax cuts, on the individual tax cuts. You know, it always gets demagogued. Oh, it's giveaways to the rich. I just don't like this because I think it's a Trojan horse. They're going to do away with all the itemized deductions and for a small fraction reduction in the tax rate. Then what happens? The next Democrat that gets in raises the tax rates right back up, just as Obama did. Bush lowered the tax rates from Bill Clinton. Obama gets back in, raises the tax rates, and adds more taxes. And so that's what I don't like about this. Think of all those people that live in Texas and Florida that lost their homes. They're able to deduct those losses on their tax returns. I have clients who have parents that are in long-term care facilities with Alzheimer's or dementia. They're able to deduct their medical expenses. They do away with that. So they do away with all the tax deductions like they did on so many things in the 80s tax reform in exchange for lower tax rates. And then what happens is the next president comes in and raises the tax rates right back up. But this time you've lost all your itemized deductions. So I don't like it at all.
Yeah, and I think, as you've said before, it's a bad idea they're doing it this at this time because the Fed is raising rates. And so Fed policy is going opposite direction of where congressional policy may go.
Yeah, you usually want monetary and fiscal policy to support each other like we did in 2009. So, you know, it's coming at the end of a business cycle. Normally, you see tax stimulus, which is the most effective stimulus, fiscal stimulus there is. You want to see that in a downturn, come out of a downturn in lower income taxes and as a stimulus to revitalize the economy. So if they fire their bullets now, what are they going to use when we get into the next recession, which is outside being a Trojan horse? I just think it's coming at the wrong time.
Okay, so far we've discussed how 401ks with Roth options work. We've discussed what the proposed changes are. Now, managing your 401ks in this kind of an environment.
Well, you know, we think 401ks are essential for retirement because, you know, for most individuals in the private sector, you know, there are two sources of income when they retire is Social Security and what they have in their pension funds, which is the major source of their savings. And it also represents a major asset. The problem is most individuals, you know, you get a job, you sign up for a 401k plan with the company, you pick your asset allocation, X amount in stocks, large, small sum in bonds, and it's sort of like automatic pilot. You know, we've run into cases where people haven't changed the allocation in their 401k plan for almost a decade. And the second thing that you see is poor selection. Either they're choosing the wrong kind of funds to be in, given the stage of the business cycle, or they're choosing the wrong kind of assets, given their age and risk preference. The other thing that we've seen with 401k plans, depending on who set them up, is there are high commissions or high cost and fees. A good plan should have multiple asset classes that give you a choice between stocks, bonds, small, large cap, government bonds, emerging market, corporate bonds, high yield bonds, commodities, things like gold or natural resources, so that you can invest appropriately to the business cycle and also your age. And it's also very important that those individuals in their 50s and 60s who are still working and contributing match their risk profile into a pre-retirement profile, because obviously if you're 25 years old, you're putting money in the stock market, you know, who's going to care 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now about the next recession or downturn that may happen in the next 12 to 18 months. You know, in a downturn, you're going to be putting money into that 401k. You're going to be buying shares in the stock market at a lower price, which when the market comes back, as it always does, it's going to have a greater impact and create more wealth. That's less so when you're 50, 55, or in your 60s. You can't afford to go through a downturn like we did in 2000, or for that matter, like we did in the year 2007 and 9, when the S&P lost close to 60%. What we know now, no matter how high-flying an economy might appear now, we know another recession is coming sooner or later. They're impossible to predict precisely, but recessions and their place in the business cycle are an accepted fact of life. Government, no matter what politicians tell you or what the Federal Reserve tells you, have not repealed the business cycle. They exist just like the change in seasons and weather. So we're 8 years into this, the third longest in history, and once again, not a big deal if you're in your 20s, 30s, early 40s. It becomes a big problem in your 50s and 60s, which is one of the reasons we spend a lot of time and now are managing 401k plans for individuals, because it represents their largest single asset. And we also are working with entrepreneurs to set them up. And we use plans that have low fees, multiple selection choices, because you really want a broad spectrum of funds, not just large cap, small cap, mid cap, different kind of bonds. You want value funds versus growth funds, because whether you're on the risk on trade or the risk off trade, value is outperforming at this point because we are in a high valuation market. And we also consult with the managers and set up the plan itself. But John, it is an essential asset for most Americans. I just hope they don't do away with it, because it's really going to impact. We know Social Security is going to have to be reformed in the next decade because it goes broke. Or at least by the year 2033, if they were to keep Social Security in its existing form, 25% of the benefits would have to be reduced. So we know in the next decade, the next president is going to have to deal with this. So that's why 401k plans are so essential for retirement, because if they mess with Social Security, what else are you going to have? And remember, it used to be 100% tax-free, your own money getting back. Then it became 50% taxable. Then it became 85% taxable. They're talking about moving back the retirement age and also maybe phasing out Social Security benefits for people on certain levels of income as they phase out certain tax deductions or add more taxes. So it's definitely on the docket. I hope they don't do this. Let your congressman know it is essential for a well-planned retirement, especially when we don't longer have the securities we once had in terms of defined benefit pension plans. Why they're going after this is beyond me.
Now, a reminder for everybody, our guest on Lifetime Income tomorrow is Rob Strauss, estate planning for the young, the mature, and the wealthy. So if you happen to be young and mature and wealthy, you really want to hear this one.
Now, how about the young, immature, and not wealthy?
No, this book's not for you. No. Anyway, that's Rob Strauss tomorrow on Lifetime Income. Okay, time for our real-life case study, which, of course, as always, is a hypothetical illustration based on a real-life example. Names and circumstances have been changed, and we do have slides online at financialsense.com, which illustrate the points that Jim is making.
This week, we're going to talk about Austin and Gloria Kaiser. Austin is age 62, Gloria age 61. Austin wants to retire in 5 or 6 years. He'd be eligible for full Social Security benefits at that time. Gloria wants to retire in 1 year. Looking at their health questionnaire, Austin's life expectancy is 90, Gloria 93. So here's a couple that have longevity on both sides of the family. They're moderately conservative. Little background, he's a business owner. He worked as a project manager for several years and is now in his own business. He's the owner of a large complex consulting company. Austin and his business partner have had a slow couple of years, but business recently picked up, resulting in a substantial increase in income. He's looking to reduce taxes and maximize their retirement savings. He does not plan to retire for about another 6 to 8 years as he enjoys the challenge of work, especially running his own business. And quite honestly, as he said, I'm a high energy guy. I'm not ready to slow down yet. Gloria, on the other hand, works in marketing. She's had a long and successful career working for a Fortune 100 company. She has enjoyed nice benefit packages and the stable work culture, but is hoping to retire within the next year. Now, she holds most of her assets in her 401k plan and a large portion of those assets in employer stock. She's excited to retire soon, but is looking for the best way that they can both utilize their assets in order to reduce taxes and help provide the income they're looking for in retirement. On a risk basis, they were currently a 4 on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most aggressive. What was amazing, and this is one of the things we found, the risk portfolio was rather high, and that was a result of a couple of things. In Gloria's plan, it was basically a set-and-forget 401k. She was almost 100% invested in stock, plus the stock plan or ownership of stock of the company she worked for. Now, what they wanted to do, they wanted to maximize their retirement, they wanted to reduce taxes, and when they retire, they wanted to be able to maintain their same lifestyle and also reduce risk. When they took their risk profile and found out their portfolio was an 8 and who they were was a 4, that sort of alarmed them, especially since Gloria wants to retire in a year and her husband, Austin, within 6 to 8 years. Essential budget is about $82,000 a year, discretionary $28,000, $110,000. They were doing very well. Austin's salary was about $115,000. That's what he was pulling out of the business. Gloria's salary was $75,000, so they had a surplus of about $80,000. Looking at their retirement budget, it remained pretty much the same, a little bit less on essentials. They'd get it down to about $100,000. Their combined Social Security, $58,000, a shortfall of $42,000. Their primary residence was $230,000, of which they owed roughly about $112,000. Gloria's 401k plan, 30% of it was in company stock. That was $521,000. Gloria's other retirement, $169,000. Austin's retirement was $416,000. And then their joint investment accounts were about $232,000. So their total investment assets were roughly a little over $1,003,000 and their net worth about $1.5 million. Now, couple things that we were looking at. How do we reduce taxes, create enough income to maintain a lifestyle, and mitigate some of the portfolio risk, especially coming mainly on Gloria's side? What we did is we said, look, we need a balanced portfolio. Everything you guys own is in the stock market. And on a risk scale, if you're in the S&P on a scale of risk of 1 to 10, if you're in a like index funds, your risk is an 8 on that scale. And that's mainly what they were in, was all in stock funds. So we said, you need, especially with Gloria retiring in 1 year, and then Austin maybe 6 to 8 years. So what we did is we proposed a balanced portfolio between laddered bonds and dividend paying stocks. That would produce investment income of $42,000, giving them total income of $100,000 against leaving them a surplus. But the nice thing about dividend stocks is dividends go up each year, so they'd have an inflation hedge. Now, what we did to maximize retirement savings is we recommended that Austin open a 401k instead of utilizing a SEP IRA for retirement savings. Now, with the SEP IRA, they are currently limited to contributions of $28,000. However, with the 401k, they can contribute over $50,000. This would help maximize retirement savings. In other words, build up the investment kitty and have Uncle Sam pay for part of it, because the more you could put into a plan, it's tax deductible. Reducing taxes. Since Gloria has accumulated employer stock throughout her working years with a low-cost basis in her 401k, we advised her to initiate an NUA, which is net unrealized appreciation at retirement, to help reduce taxes paid on the capital gains. And this would bring down the taxes, especially since she did not want to keep the entire amount in the company stock, which was rather large position in their portfolio. We also counseled Austin to consider bringing in another individual that they could train to handle more of the day-to-day operations as his business continues to grow. This would allow more time for him to travel, especially since Gloria wanted to retire within the next 12 months and also make the transition in his business to retirement much smoother. For managing risk, we basically did that with a suggestion of an NUA and also with a balanced portfolio that had now some fixed income in it, where before they were basically 100% invested in stocks. So there, John, this is once again, you know, we've been talking about 401ks. In this case, you know, Austin was going to be able to put more money into the 401k than he was with the SEP IRA. And then not only that, we would reduce the taxes on Gloria's company stock at the time of retirement. So a couple things that we were doing. We were adding more to savings by putting money away in a 401k. And part of the additional money that was going to go in the 401k, they would save on taxes. So you might say Uncle Sam was financing a good portion of it. And it's another reason why I sincerely hope, because they've been chipping away at retirement, chipping away at taxability of Social Security. They're talking about pushing it out further or reducing its benefits, and also defined benefit plans have gone by the wayside. You take that away, and now you're taking the last thing that incentivizes people to save for retirement, 401ks. I hope that President Trump is firm on this one. This would be to the detriment of many people's retirement.
And remember again that our guest on Lifetime Income tomorrow is Rob Strauss, estate planning for the young, the mature, and the wealthy, as long as you fit into one of those categories. Okay, Jim, what are we looking forward to in the weeks to come here on Lifetime Income?
In the weeks ahead, we will probably be talking a little bit more about taxes, more about what's going on, because they're talking about some major changes here that is going to impact a lot of you, especially those of you that live in areas along the coast that got damaged with the hurricane, those of you that have elder parents, or maybe you're getting up there in age yourself and deducting medical expenses. Itemized deductions are on the table along with retirement plans. So this is not all that it's cracked up to be. We want to keep you posted so you can talk to your congressman, especially if you live in those high tax states like I do in California, New York, New Jersey, Hawaii, Oregon. There are a number of states out there. And John, if they do this, I think this is going to create the second great migration, where you're going to see people move from the East Coast and the West Coast. And this gets back to Meredith Whitney's thesis. The next emerging market is the middle part of the United States, where you have natural resources, state budgets that are in order, in natural resources, because if you have high income taxes at the federal level, throw in Social Security taxes, and then throw in state taxes, you know, many people are over the 50% bracket in combined taxes, not to mention what you pay in property taxes, sales taxes, and just about all kinds of, and not to mention all the fees that you're getting assessed. Like here in California, we get fees on utilities, fees on cell phones, you know, gas taxes everywhere. So we'll be talking more about this because this is definitely going to impact many people's retirement and alter it in so many ways. We could do a show in itself on what it ends up being, which we will do if they pass it. So in the weeks ahead, we'll be spending some time on tax reform. That's the number one agenda in Washington right now. And also we'll be talking about the markets themselves. In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.